listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome back. Tomiko Torres, Tommy Torres, is in the house today. Happy Tuesday to you all. We have a great, great show today. I gotta say, great show coming up for you guys. I'd like to say congratulations to Brianna Donahue. She is the first 19-year-old young lady to file a federal suit in district court in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania against the Department of Human Services and Turning Points for Children. By the way, all parties are from Philadelphia, so she is handling this in the right manner. Thank you to her attorney, Attorney Eldestein. Thank you for supporting her and helping her disclose the truth of what has happened to her, utilizing that crumbling DHS, CUA, CASA system, which is very brutal, by the way. I want to share a personal experience with you so that way people can't misinterpret my show today for something else other than what I am trying to get across to the listeners. And by the way, there are millions of listeners on this line currently that are listening in, which we're looking to take this show, you know, international, so people can know that there are people here to support you and people that are on your team. You know, due to my work status, you know, I've gotten a lot of backlashes from people that I know that, you know, I'm this crooked person. I'm down for the team of abusing, you know, Black people. And I've actually, as a matter of fact, just so people will know, I'm going to post that on my private Instagram page. So that way people who follow Tommy Torres Is Confirmed, it will be for your eyes only to see that I'm not making this up or playing victim here. But I've had people during the Black Lives Matter movement step forward and say, you're nothing but a crooked, you know, government employee, you know, and that was very unfair to me. And unfortunately for them, I had to discontinue my friendship because I take my job very seriously and I take other people in consideration, regardless of race, you know, who they are, their background. It doesn't matter who you are still considered a human being, you know. And a lot of people that do know me, they do know the color of my skin is a pecan tan, but they do know that I am from a third world country by nature, where I was legally born. So people that know me know, okay, she wasn't born in America. You're not American, so you wouldn't know what we go through as a Black race. And that I do clearly understand. But sharing my own personal experience with you so you can know that I'm not only just a talk show host, I am also a victim of the same system that portray to be down for the team, let's say. That whole community umbrella agency system, the one that's broken. Okay, I'll tell you, I had a bad situation about, had to be 2015, I would say. Yeah, 2015. My daughter, she had a habit of, you know, when we go to the supermarket, hey, mom, can I get something off of the hot bar? Because I know it's going to take you time to get dinner ready and I'm hungry now. Me being the mom that I am, dinner's going to take a little while. Go help yourself to some chicken or whatever she decided to pick that she wanted to eat at that particular time. My daughter, upon getting these chicken wings from this particular supermarket, who it in turn, I can tell you now, we have a major lawsuit against, my daughter, and I'll post a picture of her tongue on my personal Instagram page so you can see what my daughter endured from being a victim as well. She eats these chicken wings in the car, mind you, while we're on our way home. And I remember looking at her, because, you know, we all pay attention to our children. Some parents do. Some people don't. Some parents really don't. But I pay attention to my children, what they're doing in the supermarket, so I can see what's going on. So I'm looking at my daughter at the hot salad bar. She's picking up these wings. And I see a lady walking past her, spraying the area, cleaning it, making sure it's kept clean, which that's her job, to make sure the area is kept clean, because when people grabbing food, you know, it spills, so they have to keep it clean and neat. I get it. What this woman did, and I didn't catch it until after my daughter ate the chicken wings, is she was spraying chemicals on the food because she was just trying to be in a rush and clean that area. So my daughter had third-degree burns on her tongue from chemicals. Immediately, I never got a chance to make it home to cook her dinner. Blood started shooting out of her tongue like a fire hydrant when you turn the water all the way on. And mind you, I will post these pictures, a little graphic, but I will post the picture to show you the trauma my daughter went through. Immediately, I rush her to the hospital. The next thing I know, they sent her in because that's considered a third degree burn and they have to address it immediately. Little did I know, the nurse called the police on me. And mind you, the police now are there and they're talking to me. And little did I know, they had already, because I'm in New Jersey, they had notified DYFES, which is Division Youth Family Services, to come and speak with me. And I'm wondering, okay, what do these people want with me? You know, my daughter's a victim, and so am I. My daughter got burnt by chemicals at this supermarket roundabout of fast food. So long story short, I had a DYFES, you know, this Division of Youth Family Services. I had these people now in my life and wanting to come to my home to inspect it, to see what kind of parent I was. Mind you, I never told them about my job or my title because that's not something that I broadcast. But what I did do is I asked for a supervisor because I wanted to know what gave them the legal right to now want to come into my personal space by me bringing my daughter to the hospital after I had explained what happened to my child at the careless hand of someone else. They basically blamed me, the parent, for someone else's careless act, okay? And mind you, my daughter was the injured one. She had to have immediate surgery because they needed to, you know, stick the tube down her throat with the camera to see if her stomach, how bad her stomach was burned on the inside. And then these whack-off people, DYFES, you know, had the nerve to tell me that they would have to take my daughter into custody. At that point, I immediately contacted an attorney. That's a family attorney that we, you know, when you have a real family attorney, you can call them 24/7. Hey, I got a problem here. You know, so my family attorney intervened and said, hold it. You have no legal right to say that you're going to want to come in her home, take her kid, you know, bunch of bullies. I felt like I was being bullied by this umbrella system. Okay. And I'm sharing my own personal experience. So no one can feel like, you know, I'm talking about them per se, because they're running with their own guilt right now. So I want to put out my own story to let people know how it's so easy to get bullied and get your kids taken away, you know, utilizing this umbrella, okay? And how easy it is for you to become all of a sudden a perpetrator, basically. You're the criminal in their eyes. You're the abuser, you know? Long story short, they wanted to come into my home. I said, the only way you'll be allowed into my home is with a court order. So I'll call her Miss Smarty Pants. Miss Smarty Pants goes and gets a court order to enter my home, which I, at that point, I had to let them in. And by the way, they were very upset because they had to take their shoes off. Because at that time, when I lived in that particular home, I had white carpet all the way through. And I was like, there's no way you're going to walk through my house with your dirty shoes on my white carpet. So they were like, oh, it's a safety hazard. We're not allowed to take our shoes off. Well, in that case, you cannot come in. Because the court order did not say I have to let you in with your shoes on. You know, I had to get technical with these people because, you know, they were getting technical with me. So following their protocol, they say, you know, because they come in a set. They come in a set, a group, you know, gangsters, like the mob. They come in a set. And they're looking through my home and they're wondering, why are they even here? I kid you not. They looked around. They saw my daughter's room. They saw my room because they said, you know, we got to see where mom sleeps at as well. You know, so I let them in and let them take a peek around. And they had no idea what they were doing in my home. The one worker said, because I was very firm with them. Okay, you got to be firm with these people. You got to stand your ground. It's like Florida's gun laws, stand your ground. Read up on it because you'll learn how to stand your ground without a weapon and using pen and paper versus a weapon. Stand your ground in the state that you are in. But they couldn't understand why were they in my home. They looked around, and at that time I had to disclose my job information to them, which I started to say, you want my job information, get a court order. Because I felt like they were invading my privacy, number one. Number two, my daughter was the victim of a crime, because that technically is a crime. She got burnt with chemicals at the hands of a careless worker. Okay, so my daughter was the victim. And now you're coming in to invade my private space, which I found very offensive to even, because I've never been a part of that system, that umbrella. I've never had to deal with these people on any level because, you know, I hate to say it, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn. Everybody is new to parenthood. And for me, I did a good job at parenthood. And I did the very best that I could do according to how the book is written. Because there's a book on parenthood and the do's and the don'ts. Like, don't abuse your kid. Like, don't beat them where you break the skin and now you got to run them in for stitches. Don't bust their head open with a glass jar. Like, there's rules to this game when it comes to children. Don't pinch them so hard that you put a hole in their skin. Don't pluck them where you can leave a bruise. So there's rules to this game of being a true parent, okay? And I've done the very best job that I could do at being the best parent that I know how to be. Not saying or trying to take anything away from any other parent that read the same book that I did, the do's and the don'ts, you know, because kids sometimes are a part of that entitlement program and they feel like I'm entitled to this and I'm entitled. No, that book says I'm supposed to keep you clean. I'm supposed to keep you fed and I'm supposed to make sure that you go to school. Okay. You're supposed to wear designer clothes and designer shoes and all the other attributes that these kids are looking for today. So I wanted to share my own story with you guys. So you'll know, guess what? It doesn't matter who you are. You're not exempt from anything out here today or anybody or any umbrella system because they will try to grab you and pull you in. And by the way, I told you guys, you know, about the CASA experience I had of being a volunteer and I kind of shot that down. Like I pulled out a big rifle and boom, I just shot it down because that world, I couldn't participate in. Now, I had a CASA advocate that wanted to be an advocate for my kid in that particular situation, because they had to write up their little fabricated, click and paste report on how they foreseen the total situation, which they knew nothing about me. They knew nothing about my child. They knew nothing about our lifestyle, except for, wow, what are we really doing here? Because we've never seen a kid have such a beautiful room, have everything that a kid could possibly dream of, you know, because I came from a third world country and I always wanted to give my kids things that I never had as a kid. So I go a little overboard with my kids. You want $3,000 sneakers? I'm that parent. I bought them. I've done that. That's the type of parent that I am, because I remember growing up in the Dominican Republic, I didn't have shoes. So I'm going to make sure my children have the things that I never had. But it all comes with a reward. So I'm not going out splurging for no reason. You have to have good grades. You have to be respectful. You have to do chores. You have to get household duties. I had them as a kid. Didn't seem to break my back. So you do things to reward your kids, not have them a part of the entitlement program. But long story short, I had this CASA woman that wanted to guide my daughter into direction of writing this report and need to speak to her privately one-on-one, which was kind of crazy to me, because am I charged with child abuse here? And by the way, DIFAS people, are you trying to take my child because she's a victim of something that I didn't participate in? So that was kind of like weird. But that whole CASA volunteering for free and only people that's getting paid is the directors to skim and scam and make up stuff on the parent and be mad at the world because they got their own personal issues. And they're really slopping for chump change to write up a fabricated click and paste report. So let's just go there with that. So I just wish that they were just a little bit more educated so they could actually write a full paragraph independently. Because from the report that I read for my own case, you know, I had to say, are you kidding me? Like, are you serious? Like, who wrote this? Did my 9-year-old write this? You know, what's your education level? Because I forgot, you're directing a scam of a program. So I have to keep my eye on you, basically. And not taking anything away from that CASA woman that was trying to, you know, basically screw my life up, you know, with her false writings about what she saw as me as a parent, which she didn't. Listen, the lady met me for less than 45 minutes and she wanted to define me as a parent. How do you define someone that you have never sat around and observed? You got to say these people are sick and demented. So I'm going to go back to Brianna Donahue, who has a top-notch attorney who's going to stick them to the grass that they probably grow up on. And she's going to fight this case properly. This made headlines, by the way. It's in the paper, okay? She was abused. She was starved. She was molested. She was beaten. Who does that to a child that they're supposed to protect? That's that community umbrella agency that we spoke about. Mind you, they're noted in her lawsuit. So you know what? Justice will be served, you know, on all parties who did this to this young lady, you know. In child cases, I could tell you, I've been on a few, and I'll tell you like this. This system, someone needs to nail them to the cross, okay? And by the way, going through my own issues with that DIFAS situation that I had for my daughter being the victim, I had to retain my own attorney because they appointed me an attorney and I kept trying to figure out who gave me an attorney that I did not ask for. Like, why are you giving me an attorney? So you got to understand how this system is. They're all in cahoots together. So if you don't have money for your own attorney, they're going to give you one that's going to be in bed with them. And that attorney is going to do nothing but make your life living H-E-double-L, okay? And I started to see that, and that's why I had my paid attorney, family attorney, on call to say, wait a minute here. I called you from the beginning. Who are these people? And why are they saying they're representing me? You know, you got to take a stand and have a voice of your own to protect your own kids. I have someone coming on the show today, by the way, who was a victim of the DHS CUA CASA system. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but she has a lot to say, and her name is Tweety Bird. I named her Tweety Bird because she was tweeting her words to me, and it sounded like, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you hear the birds, and they're chirp, 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 chirp. Chirp, 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 chirp. And that's what I got out of the conversation with her. So I named her Tweety Bird because we don't call names on the show. We never mention names unless the names are publicized by the media. I want them to be the first to publicize the name, and then I'm allowed to mention the name. So thank you, media services, for putting certain names out there. So I will be able to mention them on this show. But the names that are not publicized do not get mentioned. So let's just know that. She has a lot to say. I'm not sure if we can cover it all in one session today. But I have some questions for her that kind of took me by surprise at the things that she went through with this DHS CUA CASA system. And She was a DHS child herself at one time, and she was pulled from her parents because of disciplinary. Okay, you beat your child. Remember, you don't break the skin. There's rules to this book of being a good parent. So I don't know if her parents read the book or not. I'm not sure about that. But what I am sure about is she was a DHS child herself. And guess what? She had her children taken from her due to nothing that she caused, but it was something that was caused by someone else. You know, this was all the behavior of someone else why her children were taken from her. And also one of her children were molested under the hands of this protective agency. Her son was sexually assaulted by this foster parent. I don't know how they go about doing their screening, but I'll tell you this much. When I told you guys before, you're leaving a rape victim with the rapist, that's pretty much what they did. You got someone's baby that was sexually assaulted in the hands of the protective agency. And listen, I don't like to put words in people's mouths, but she's going to come on and we're going to confirm the allegations. She was admitted into Wordsworth Academy in Elkins Park. Now, I drove past that place and couldn't figure out exactly what it was because I everything that comes on the show, I like to confirm it. I don't like to just throw it out there. I like to make sure it's confirmed before we actually put it out there. She was beaten in this academy when this placement was under the protective agency that was supposed to protect her from her parents. Remember Elysiana Carter, the 13-year-old that was murdered, shot in the mouth, Philadelphia? She was also supposed to be protected by this DHS CUA agency. Mind you, I got a chance to speak to her CASA worker. Very interesting, I must say. Very, very interesting. But I was asked to keep that confidential. But I will say, very, very interesting that Elysiana Carter had a CASA worker that actually reached out to me, because I don't reach out to those people. It's not my forte, you know, not my cup of tea to have crackers and tea with them. That's, you know, due to my own personal experiences. But she reached out to me and shared a lot of tea with me. And I asked her, you know, did you share this tea with the detective that was actually working on the case in Philadelphia? Because the things that she told me was quite disturbing. And I was very surprised that they never wrote any of that. Well, you know, she told me. I never added that in any of my reports, but I thought I would let you know that this is the agency I volunteer for. And I'm saying to myself, okay, I'm like with my newfound friend. My ears are growing Pinocchio style, and my ears keep on singing, lady, because I'm listening. And I couldn't believe that this woman opened up about some things about Elysiana Carter. I could not believe it. I was very, very surprised that she would share with me some things that she knew that were facts that were more in favoritism, by the way, for her parents to get her back out of this deranged umbrella system. Okay, so that was a little shocking to me that she would not reveal things that would get this kid back home with her parents instead of having her, you know, as they labeled her as a runaway. She was running away from the system, okay, like Brianna Donahue, who was abused in the system, you know, the case that's now public in federal court. State court, don't stand a chance. We need federal court. By the way, Brianna Donahue's family court judge, this is what I read in the Pennsylvania Penn paper, says that Judge Young was on her case. Mind you, there's been some writings about these judges that handle family court cases. Now, I was very surprised because I do know Judge Young, and Judge Young is a very astute, intelligent judge that I'm just sure that got caught in the crossfire of this umbrella system and didn't know how to possibly move. But I think Judge Young was a very outstanding judge. I know people personally that had cases with her that were actually very positive. And that much I can say, you know, when you know somebody, you know, you're not going to throw dirt on them if it's not the truth. You know, be truthful if you're going to speak about someone. And I know another family court judge, which I cannot mention the name because the name is not public in the paper as of yet. But that family court judge out of New Jersey is a very great family court judge that really is in support of making, you know, these kids a whole and making them be outstanding where, you know, the parents get them back and they can live and have a progressive life as a kid. Because you take so much away from these kids when you shuffle them through the system, like, you know, playing like spades or something like that. You're just another card to the system. You're a dollar sign, basically, you know, card games, money's involved, gambling. You know, that's what it's really, you look at it and that's what it's compared to. And it's really a sad situation to be looked at as a dollar sign. And I refuse, by the way, to let my kid participate as a dollar sign in the sick system that was trying to suck her in. And thank goodness she has a stand-up mom that will fight. And when I tell you fight, I will pull out my hyena claws and I will scratch the walls to protect my babies. That's the parent that I am. Should be getting a call from Tweety Bird any minute now. Hopefully she'll call in promptly and we can ask her some questions, you know, about her experience with this system, because it was really bad. It was really, really, really bad. But I'm the parent that's going to pull my claws out. You know, I don't know about any other parents out here. And I've seen some parents that just, you know, they throw in the towel. Oh, do what you want to do to me. Who cares? You know, I mean, I don't see how any parent could want to put their child through the torment, the torture, the abuse of being in such a deranged, colluded system. You're killing the brain follicles of that child to sit back and let them be abused, and you're not even the abuser, you know? So Hello? You got to sit back and say, now, I'm not going to say all parents Hello? Need, you know, to be with their parents. Some don't. But the caller is on now. Tweety Bird, are you there? Hey, Tweety Bird, how are you?
How are you?
Oh, fine, Tweety Bird. Glad you could make
it on. Can you hear me? Is the connection good?
Oh, yes. The connection is perfect.
Wonderful.
I wanted to ask you, just to backtrack, because I need to confirm some...
Hello?
I need to confirm some things with you. And I wanted to confirm Wordsworth Academy in Elkins Park, Pennsylvania. Were you beaten while you were in there?
Yes. As a VHS child myself, yes.
Wow.
I was in there, and that particular agency was designed to not put children into foster homes or with families, but was sick. They boarded the children, and they were controlled by psych meds. And, you know, when they acted out, you know, the first thing they would do was stick a needle in their butts, and these children would be just drooling and rocking back and forth. You know, I wasn't never really a child that had behavioral issues. I acted out because I was defending myself. So whenever you would get into a confrontation with another one of the children, the first sedative that they do is stick a needle in your butt, tranquilize you, and then you'll be okay. And you're left in a room sitting in the chair up when you could actually tumble over and bust your face or anything. So, you know, they did a lot of strenuous tactics, like wrapping your arms around your neck, pulling them back, arching your back backwards, and just so that way they can get you to conform.
So this was actually
very abusive.
Wasn't this like a place where DHS would put children, something like a boot camp? Like to make them better as children?
I don't know about putting them there to make them better. If you don't identify the child's problem, what you're doing is inflicting more pain to injury. That was not doing children right. That was actually them being able to say, we have these children in custody. We're going to claim this money from the federal government for taking care of these children. But really, these children weren't even put in school so they could continue to educate themselves. They were supposed to be the institution that had a school right there, but we never learned anything. We sat in the classrooms that were there, but it was just to say that we were somewhere. But everybody that was put in there was deemed to have emotional and mental disabilities. So how is that working towards the betterment of a child if people are suffering from emotional and mental disabilities? It's not helping at all. It's confining the situation while inflicting more meds so they can't have a clear mind. They can't talk for themselves and defend themselves because majority of the time they're drugged up. It's supposed to be to help people, but half those kids didn't even need boot camp. They just needed to be heard.
Right. And currently, I like to congratulate you on getting your children back out of the system. But I wanted to ask you, was your son molested in DHS custody?
Yes, my son was molested and touched in DHS. And What happened was that they acted as if I didn't have my parental eyes. I did request for an investigation. I was held out of that investigation. So when they went to take my child to another facility that, you know, they worked with to do the investigation and see if he was touching some type of way, the findings came back that it was negative. And that's because they get these different organizations to say what it is they need them to say to continue to revenue the money, as well as not to be liable for, you know, the things that these children are incurring. They're not just being molested. They're being starved. They're being beat. They're being controlled. They're being given new names, and they're reprimanded if they don't respond. These are just a little bit of what my son was going through at that time. So he didn't understand what to do, but when he saw me, it was like a lifeline. But how much of a lifeline could I have been if they were restricting me from engaging with my son?
Actually held your son hostage and tried to keep him away from you?
I feel as though, and I know as though, because I'm not the only person that's out here in Philadelphia and throughout the United States. So let's be clear that this agency has different names, CYS, CPS, DHS, all throughout the United States. This is happening to everyone, you know, that speaks with, that are articulate, that are educated, that are well knowledgeable. If you fight for your child, they take your child, they hold your child without their will, they restrict you from being able to engage with your child on any level. They even held away for like maybe three weeks to a month before you even finally see them once they've taken them from your presence. So, yeah, they did abduct my child. Yes, they did hold my child without his will. Yes, they did ignore the fact that I had family members throughout the United States that was willing to take my son. But they said that Philadelphia wanted them. And I don't remember sleeping with Philadelphia. I remember having a baby father that I had, you know, did some things with, and we were blessed with a child. So it's all about money gain, because if they can remove the child from the natural heritage, that's the bloodline, and put them into another home that's not a relative or anything, what happens is that the caseworker that removed the child gets a $10,000 bonus. This document was signed by Bill Clinton, and I had no idea because I'm a strong Democratic supporter, but he was the one that signed it, and I had the actual documents that showed that the embezzling or the taking of people's property for profitable gain is what was actually taking place.
Wow. So let me ask you about, because this was a little disturbing to me. Someone said this to me, and I just need confirmation, because someone that introduced, you know, me to you basically said, listen, there's DHS children that are not placed because they have nowhere to put them. They're like stored in a basement somewhere. Is that true? Any truth to that?
Yeah, I've sat in the Department of Human Services that sits right across from a municipal building, and I watched people drop kids off. They did not have no placements for them. They did not know where they were going to go. This is during the week. This is during the weekend. And what they do is they give them a cot, and there's a room downstairs in the basement somewhere where they store the children. If they don't have them downstairs, they'll have them in a room that's normally on the first floor where they can't just walk out the building or walk out that room. They're actually locked in. And it's supervised. Yeah, the kids sleep in those buildings, in the building itself, Department of Human Services. Yeah.
Wow. Isn't that like, shouldn't that be like a form of abuse within itself?
That is a form of abuse. Because if you left your child at home by yourself, depending on the age, it's a violation, and it's law breaking, because the child is not able to take care of themselves, but they're putting them in a room and they don't have any place to place them. But it's just about keeping the money flowing, because as long as they got your child's body, they get the money. And they tell the government when they release the child back or not. It took months before my son would get his benefits back. Once I got him back into my custody, it took months to fight Department of Public Welfare, Social Security to give my son back his money. Meanwhile, they were still paying the Department of Human Services, and they knew they didn't even have my son.
Well,
so I fought for a very long time, about 6 months.
Well, let me ask you this question. I don't know if you know the answer to it or not, but this is from what I read actually in one of their manuals, because I like to confirm stuff, that if the person has a distraught background, as long as it's not child abuse, your child could actually be placed with them if the charges are less than 5 years old. Well, more than 5 years old,
well,
actually.
Well, here's the thing. And it's so crazy because me, myself, I can give my example and that should answer the question. You know, everybody makes poor decisions when they're younger. My background had a lot to do when I was younger, but they went inside my background and they found a so-called warrant for my arrest. So that was one of their factors of trying to keep my son, but I had that resolved. But their thing is, if you're coming from a good background or your child is really timid and very soft-spoken, those are the children they want. They don't want the children that busting out windows, cursing them out. They don't want them. Those children are going to go back to their same abusers, the same dysfunctional background that they pulled them from, and those people are going to get their money back. They're going to get the kid back. For a parent like me, as a high school graduate, I have plus college education, plus, you know, trades and therefore and so forth. And I'm certified in a lot of different things. That wasn't the case for me. The way they dealt with me is that when I told them they didn't have a jurisdiction here and there was no domestic violence, there was no this, there was domestic violence, but there was no neglect to my children, no beating of my children. They made me take my children to one home when they were living somewhere else, and then they said that my home was unfit. That's how they took my children. They never substantiated drug use. They never substantiated any type of behavioral issues. They never really worried about my background until I started speaking. Once I started speaking and telling them what their position was and their job was, now I'm the op. Meaning I'm going against them. So therefore, when they finish with me, this is what was told to me, then I will answer them accordingly. I will deliver to them whatever they wanted, and I will then get my child back. But it wouldn't be till almost, 2 months shy of 3 years is when I finally received, March 31st is when I received my son back. And they were still fighting me. So, you know, you could be an abuser and you get the child, but you be a good parent or the parent, the best parent you know how to be, you're going to lose your child.
Wow.
It's weird. They're supposed to protect the interests of children, but really they inflict pain. They inflict abuse. They allow abuse. They substantiate their claims, which is nothing to substantiate because the mother, the parents, the biological family is not there to be supportive of the child. So when this child see all these other people, they're going to conform and do what they tell them to do because they're scared. That was my son. Only later on to find out my son was molested. My son was beaten. He arrived to visits with bruises all on his face and neck and chest, gashes in his ribs when we would take off the dirty clothes. Because I used to buy him clothes while he was in foster care. But they told me my son looked like that because I didn't, when they came to take my son, that's all I gave him to wear. That's a lie. I never knew they were taking him. There was never no gross behavior. They deemed the environment safe and not hazardous for the children, which are all the requirements for him to stay in the home that he was in at the time that they came out to visit the children and check the children's welfare.
Wow. Well, you know what? Because we got a lot to cover, Tweety Bird, on your story, and also to bring in Brianna Donahue on her story.
Okay.
Would you mind coming back on our show at a later date?
I would love to, because I just think that it's so important for everyone to understand that, you know, your biggest challenge is not getting over the humps and the expectations of what they're asking you to do. The biggest challenge is dealing with the corrupt will of attorneys that they have that do what they tell them to do, the corrupt judges that cannot be penalized because they have been would exempt from prosecution because they're a judge, and then the different agencies is also working. Everybody is getting money, but the child and the families that's being broken up and destroyed, and you're destroying the children by thinking everything is mental and thinking everything is about severe anger. No, people are a little fed up and pissed off. That's what it is. They're dealing with emotions because they can't even understand this huge animal. You know what I mean? And so everybody needs to take this really seriously, because your child can be trafficked by DHS in the city of Philadelphia and all the subsidiary agencies or umbrellas, whatever names, fake names they want to call them, and then change them later so that way that bad omen doesn't follow that new name and that new agency. It's all the same thing. It's a will of injustice.
Right. So, Tweety Bird, I'm going to actually, we have to sit down and talk and iron out some things. And I know I'm going to have tons of emails of questions that people are going to want to address, you know, for you to come back on. So I'm going to let you go now so I could close out this show. But I'd definitely like to call you and have you back on.
We would love it. My family would love to speak to the world about what has happened and how all these violations are being overlooked and who is going to take accountability. As a parent, we're made to take accountability when they say they have a so-called alleged, you know, call, but yet and still they treat it as it's criminal. So, you know, you need to educate yourself on how to deal with this. You need to understand what you're dealing with. It's the biggest corrupt, you know, cartel there is. I don't care about the Black Mafia, the Italians. This is the big, the hugest corrupt industry in the world. And your child is being trafficked and sold to the highest bidder. And that arrests my case right there. If they have any questions about all the different things that I went through, by all means, feel free to reach out, ask you all the questions. I'll be happy to divulge anything that I have, any knowledge that I have, and the documentation to support it.
Okay, Tweety Bird, and we'll call you back to get you back on the show. Thank you for calling in, and have a great evening.
I really appreciate you letting my voice be heard, and hopefully we can make a difference and stop this trafficking of our children and keep it with the bloodline. That's what's most important.
Yes. Thank you so much, Tweety Bird.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
You have a blessed day.
Okay, you
bye-bye.
Too.
Bye-bye.
Whew, I tell you, boy, oh boy, my ears are on fire because, listen, this show is not pre-set up with questions. I'm getting a lot of incoming emails right now in regards a lot. So I know there's going to be a lot to recap on this, and I know people have a lot of questions. But I can't actually take those questions right at this particular moment, guys. I see them flowing in. But we will definitely have her back on because, you know, she said a mouthful. You know, when I heard the story, I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, it's horrible. You know, I can't imagine going through something like that. And I have my own personal experience in New Jersey with this agency that were being, you know, whew, you know, I can't even say that word on the air, but yeah, it was really bad. It was really bad, you know, and I'm glad that they got a chance to come and see how I live and, you know, where I live, because that spoke volumes. You know, I don't live where people sit out on the stoops. We don't have that type of, you know, not that area. But long story short, I'd like to thank everybody for joining in today. I would like to give a special shout out to SP News Nuggets. Yes, I love her. I love her show. She's the best. She's the best of the West, as they say. And I'd like to thank the millions of listeners that are listening in today. I really appreciate you guys. You guys are also the best. You're fabulous. Fabulous audience, by the way. I'm looking forward to pushing this thing forward and getting people on here. Brianna Donahue, shout out to her. Looking forward to her coming on the show so she can speak her truth. And I like to say good night to you all, and I'll see you same bat time, same bat place. Good night.
You're listening. listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.